Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. I'm going to look at four verses this morning, looking at the example of Jesus. This is a first week of a four-part series titled, It's Harvest Time. As we think about harvest time, how many of you either live on a farm, work on a farm, or grew up on a farm? Okay, we're still in Lancaster. Still quite a few hands. But we want to begin to unpack the imagery that is used by Jesus as he refers to the harvest. Follow along as we read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Says Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Then he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You see how Jesus refers to God the Father in this passage. How does he describe God the Father? Verse 38, he says, the Lord of the harvest. And he refers to his harvest fields. This imagery of a spiritual harvest is an imagery that goes back at least 2,000 years. Many of us, at least some of us from an agricultural background, we understand the analogy. We understand the significance and the excitement and the purpose and all that's wrapped up in a harvest. But for those of you who can't identify and enter into all of that, we're going to begin this four-week series with a 15-minute video. It's called It's Harvest Time. I saw the video about 10 years ago. And on Tuesday, I was like, I wonder if we still have that video laying around anywhere. And when we looked at it, I was like, oh my goodness, this captures powerfully and beautifully what's related to a spiritual harvest as we look at a physical harvest. And so we're going to show this video. It's a story. It's a parable. Jesus told lots of parables. There were stories with meaning. And here's what I want you to do when you watch this video. I want you to take out your sermon notes, and I want you to turn to the back. When the bank is completely wide open for you, as you look at this video, as you look at this story, I want you to be looking for spiritual truths that relate to a harvest, a spiritual harvest, of seeing other people come to know and to love the God that we love and serve. So watch the video. Look for principles and truths related to a spiritual harvest. Powerful story. Hopefully you didn't get too drawn into the story, and that you were not able to see some of the truths that were illustrated about a spiritual harvest as they talked about the physical farm harvest. I have some ushers that have some mics, and I would love to have a few of you share what are some of those spiritual truths that relate to a harvest. Anybody want to share some of the analogies or the parallels you might have saw? Absolutely. One of the themes that was throughout the video was that we need to come together. One of my favorite lines is that the farmers came together to do what not one of them would have been able to do by themselves. But when they came together, they were able to accomplish not one of them could have accomplished, the harvest in the day. Very good. Thank you. A couple more. What are some of the other themes or truths? Dave? Yeah. And what did his father always say? We always need to be ready for the harvest. We have to be ready for the harvest. Whether it's a physical harvest, spiritual harvest. Somebody else. What is another analogy? Dave.
Life can change in an instant.
Yes. It's a true story. Life can change in an instant. Okay, not going to take time to bring out more spiritual truths, but I wanted you to, be able to think in terms of a physical harvest and relate it to a spiritual harvest that Christ was talking about here in Matthew. I want us to recognize here at CBC, it's harvest time. We are beginning another year of ministry this coming Wednesday night. The children's ministry, Awana program, kicks off. And Lord willing, they'll have 200 children from this church and this community. If you've never been here on a Wednesday night, just at about 7 o'clock to see all of the people coming in. TNT, the junior high ministry, meets down on Market Street. Marietta, they're going to be launching another year of ministry down there. Student Body, the high school ministry with Pastor Mark, they're going to be kicking off their fall this Wednesday night. It's going to be men's and women's small groups. And as we launch another year of ministry, it's important to remember that it's harvest time. We're not just going through another year of programs, just not another year of ministry. It's about seeing people from this community come to know and to love God, partnering with God for the work that He wants to do in our lives and the lives of the people in this community. But if we're going to experience the harvest that God intends for us here at CBC, there's three critical components that I want to draw your attention to that we can see from this passage of Scripture. Look with me at verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Let's just stop there. Jesus went around, and what was He doing? He was teaching and preaching, and at the very same time, it says that He was healing every disease and sickness. Some of you might be saying, well, so? What's the big deal? Isn't that what Jesus did? I want you to understand that Jesus was concerned with the physical needs. That's why He was healing those who were sick. Jesus was concerned with the physical needs, but at the same time, He was concerned with people's spiritual needs. That's why He was teaching and preaching about the good news of the kingdom. If God is going to bring forth a harvest here at CBC, you and I must be concerned with both the physical and spiritual needs of those around us. Are you in tune to the physical and spiritual needs of the people around you? My hunch is that most of us in this room gravitate towards one of those two types of needs. There's probably some individuals in this room who are very passionate about people's spiritual needs and passionate about seeing people come to Christ and understand that their whole eternity hangs in the balance. And they can tend to say, oh, don't bog me down with these other details of helping people. Let that for somebody else. We need to give them the good news. And so they focus on people's spiritual needs. And then there's probably individuals in our body who might not be too in tune to people's spiritual needs, but you're very in tune to people who need help, who are sick, who are hurting, who are poor. And you rally around to meet their physical needs. Both are good. Both are important. And both were reflected in Christ. Both need to be reflected in us as individuals, and both need to be reflected in us as a church. So as you think about, well, what does meeting people's physical needs in this community look like? How do we go about that? I want to share with you a couple ministries that you can be part of. And if you're passionate about helping people with their physical needs, here's some ministries that I want you to be aware of. First off is Clothing Because We Care. Clothing Because We Care is at the TNT building on Market Street in Marietta. And each of us has the opportunity to donate clothing to Clothing Because We Care. And one Saturday a month, they open up for the morning, and individuals from the community, specifically Marietta, can come in and find the clothes that they need for their children, for their family. Why do we do that? Because it's important that we reflect the values that we see reflected in Jesus, and that is to meet the physical needs of the people in our community. Another way that you can participate or be part of that is the car care ministry. Three times a year, there's men from this church who gather at Keener Tire between Maytown and Elizabethtown at this garage, and they service the cars for single moms, for widows, for ladies in the church and in the community who would not have the financial means to have their car serviced. They change the oil, they rotate their tires, they go over a basic maintenance check. And here again, it's a way for the men of this church to reflect the heart and value of Jesus to serve people's physical needs. And then an opportunity that all of us will have the opportunity to participate again in is Pass It On Day. And let me share this with you. Do you realize it's only 3 months away? Christmas! The first Saturday in December is Pass It On Day. And if you're not familiar with it, that Saturday there's tables all over this room full of presents that have been given from the people of this body of believers. And they open up the doors, and people come in, and they pick up their Christmas gifts that they would unable to afford for the people and their family, the people they care about. Here again, just another way for us to meet the physical needs of the community. The last ministry I want to highlight is the Deacon and Deaconess Ministry, and they're focused on just that, meeting the short-term physical needs of people in this church and in this community. 2008, they were able to reach out and help 33 individuals with 47 different needs, and $16,000 was contributed to those individuals that might have went to make a car repair so that they could get their car back on the road or get it inspected. They might have went to helping somebody with their rental or heating bill. But as we think about reflecting the value of Jesus in meeting people's physical needs, there's just a few of the ways that you might be able to help and to participate here at CBC. But obviously, you don't need a program. You don't need a ministry to do that. You and I are surrounded by people in our neighborhoods, in the workplace, in our families that need us to reach out and to help them. But we can't just be concerned about people's physical needs. We need to be concerned about their spiritual needs. All of us are spiritual beings. We're not just physical beings, social, emotional beings. We're spiritual beings. There is a God-shaped void in each one of us. That's why we ask the questions, why am I here? What happens after we die? What is my purpose? And we have a longing to know and to connect with God. And so here at CBC, what we do on Sunday morning, whether it's in the ABF, whether it's in the classrooms, whether it's here in the service, we open up God's Word so that spiritual needs can be met. We have Bible studies in small groups specifically geared for individuals who need to come to know who Christ is. Why? Because we cannot just be concerned about physical needs. We need to be concerned about people's spiritual needs. So what about you? How are you doing at being in tune, being concerned with the physical and spiritual needs around you? My guess is that most of you are probably pretty good at helping people out with physical needs. Sometimes they're more obvious, you can see them. But spiritual needs, that's a little more difficult. That's maybe a little more intimidating. This week, I want you to be in tune to physical and spiritual needs that God might bring your way. And here's the deal. If God brings to you a spiritual need, that someone has spiritual questions, spiritual struggles, they have emotional, internal struggles, not a physical need, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call the church office and ask for one of the pastors. But here's what you need to know. The pastor's not going to take care of that spiritual need. We will coach you. We will help you. We will assist you. We will guide you. God has brought that person to you. You are the one that has a relationship. Our job as pastors is to coach, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So if you come across a spiritual need and you're like, I'm not sure where to go with this, call the church office and we'll coach you in being God's instrument to meet that spiritual need. Look with me at verse 36. It says, when he, referring to Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Critical component number two, if we're going to be part of the harvest that God wants to bring forth here at CBC, is we must reflect the heart and compassion of Jesus. I find it really interesting that the word that's used to describe Jesus' reaction is compassion. It's not condemnation. It's not judgment. He's not looking at those people and saying, oh man, why are they so messed up? Why are they doing all those things? Why are they searching after all of those false gods and idols? No, he looks at them with a heart of compassion. He describes them as how? Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to take a moment just to enter into that word picture. Close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes, visualize a flock of sheep on a mountainside, on a hill. There's no shepherd. Sun has set. It's getting dark. And out of the surrounding woods comes a pack of wolves. They begin to surround the sheep. They begin to move in and to attack. There's no shepherd to protect them, to lead them to safety, to guide them. Can you hear the baying of the sheep? Can you see the terror in their eyes? They have no place to go. They can't outrun the wolves. They can't protect themselves. They're hopeless, helpless, harassed. Powerful picture that Jesus used to describe the crowds. You can look up here. When you and I look at the crowds, when we look at people around us, we don't necessarily see them like that. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to the Penn State football game. Talk about being surrounded by a crowd. They didn't necessarily look harassed and helpless. They looked fine. But Jesus was able to look beneath the facades. And he was able to see the inner turmoil, the hurt, the struggle of individuals trying to navigate through the challenges and the injustices of life. The temptations of life without connected to the God of the universe, without a shepherd. How do you view non-believers? How do you view people who don't believe and live like you do? Is there compassion in your heart towards them? Or is there judgment and criticism? I get some concern sometimes when I hear Christians talk about those who don't follow Christ. It almost sounds like we view them as the enemy. We become critical and judgmental. Say, oh man, these non-believers at my work, they're so annoying. They're ruining our community. They're ruining our country. And we begin to view them as the enemy. And Jesus looked at the crowds, not as the enemy, but he looked at them with heart of compassion. What's in your heart towards non-believers? Because what's in your heart, they will see and sense. If you judge them, if you condemn them, if you're critical of them, think they'll sense that? Absolutely. You will push them away, not only from yourself, but from our God. But the flip side is true. If they sense that there is genuine love and grace and compassion, genuine concern for them, even though they don't believe the way you believe, even though they don't live the way you live, even though they may be annoying at times, they will be able to sense that love and compassion. They'll not only be drawn to you, but they'll be drawn to our God. What is in our hearts is more important than what we do. Especially as it relates to bringing forth the spiritual harvest. We've got to get that right. Some of you might have saw in yesterday's paper, headlined reads, Pagans, Witches, Rattle, Adamstown Village. Let me just read the first two brief paragraphs. A festival designed to celebrate the nature-centered spirituality of pagans and witches is getting a mixed reaction from shop owners at Stoutberg Village in Adamstown, where the event will be held September 12th. While some of the village shops will be open during the festival, others will close because of the group that is sponsoring the event. Let me ask you a question. Based on what you see of Jesus in the Gospels, if Jesus was one of those shop owners, do you think he'd be closing his shop Saturday, September 12th? No way. I don't think so either. I think Jesus would be saying, praise the Lord. He'd be sitting right in front of his door. He would be interacting, looking to relationally connect. He wouldn't be judging those people. He wouldn't be critical of those people. How would he view those people? He'd be like, oh my word, they're sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They're floundering. They need a shepherd. He would be looking to connect with them, to relate to them, to point them to God. Now, I'm not saying there's certainly a place to stand for truth. There's certainly a place to stand for our convictions. But here's what you and I need to understand. It's an age-old principle. Jesus demonstrated it beautifully. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Got an email. In fact, some of you might have seen it. It came through Charlie Crater's churchwide email from Dave McBride this week. So we think about reflecting the heart and the compassion of Jesus. Listen to what Dave writes. In fact, we have a picture to go with it. Dave says, Connie and I joined with a group of over 30 people to do an outreach to the homeless in Atlanta. Dave's part of our CBC family. He serves the Lord with Connie in Atlanta. And so it says, Connie cuts hair and, of course, loves on them. Dave says, I hang around and try not to get in the way. Maybe get a bottle of water into their hands. Personally, he says, I find it hard to know what to make of the homeless and how to reach them for Jesus. Bunches of them quote scripture along with you, and they can sing Christian songs with you, but their lifestyle is inconsistent with the Christ life. He says, some, quote, deserve to be on the streets. Some even want to be on the streets. He says, I find them harder to reach than Hindus and Muslims. What would Jesus do? I'm not sure, he says, but I can at least show compassion and treat them like people till I figure it out. Isn't that great? Dave is reflecting the heart of Jesus. He's saying, I don't know how to reach these people. I don't know really how to help them. But until I figure it out, at least I can show them some compassion and treat them like people. I'm telling you, if as a body of believers we can reflect the compassion of Jesus rather than the self-righteousness that too often flows from our hearts, we're going to need to go to three services real quick. People are drawn to others who have the heart and the compassion of Jesus. If we're going to bring forth a harvest here at CBC, we need to search our hearts. We need to pray that God would change our hearts to reflect His heart. Last off, look with me at verses 37 and 38. But let's just start with 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Just stop right there after that statement. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, what would you expect Jesus to say next? I would expect him to say to his disciples, get to work. Right? It's the most obvious response. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, get to work. It's not what he says, is it? Look with me at what he says, verse 38. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He doesn't say get to work. He says, talk to God, the Lord of the harvest. For whose harvest is it? It's not our harvest. We can't make people believe. The Lord of the harvest is the one who draws and convicts and reveals. Instead of saying get busy, instead of saying get to work, he says, talk to God. Interesting. Because it's his harvest, his harvest fields. And he even tells us what to pray, right? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. How many of you think you can do that? For the 4 weeks of this series, say, God, send out workers into the harvest field. Let's see, raise a hand. Do you think you can do that? Jot yourself a note. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it in your car. Put it in your Bible. But let's say, God, it's your harvest. You're the Lord of the harvest. It's your harvest fields. You care about these people more than we do. Send out workers into this harvest field. But let me give you a little warning. Guess what's going to happen if you start praying that every day? Guess who he's going to send out as a worker? Ken knows. He's nodding. God's going to do a work in your heart. If you start praying every morning and say, God, raise up and send out workers into your harvest field, pretty soon you're going to start becoming more in tune to the physical needs and the spiritual needs of the people around you. You're going to get your eyes off of your problems and yourself. Pretty soon you're going to realize, oh man, that guy at work, really, he really annoys me. He's hard to love. I don't really love that person. God, you need to change my heart. From the beginning of the church age in Acts, we see that Jesus is sending out workers into his harvest field. Let me help you to understand what that looks like here and now. A couple examples. First picture is a picture of Chris and Amanda and Allie. Isn't that all? Beautiful family. God has raised up Chris and Amanda and has sent them to a far-off land. You know where that far-off land is? Market Street, Marietta. A couple years ago, I was talking with Chris. Chris reminded me that as a small boy, he spent many years running the streets of Marietta. He had a heart and compassion for the people of Marietta. And so when he and Amanda began to look for a house, they weren't considering Maytown, they weren't considering Columbia, Wrightsville, Elizabethtown. There was one place that he was looking for a home. It was in Marietta. Because God has raised up and is sending out into the harvest field of Marietta, Chris and Amanda Houston. And if you have not heard the story about how God divinely orchestrated them getting their house, there's just no other explanation than it was just clearly an act of God. He placed them a block down from the TNT Youth Center, a couple houses down from the square on Market Street, Marietta. God has raised up Chris and Amanda and he sent them out to Marietta. Next. Here's a picture. You probably don't recognize any of these individuals, but if you're in around CBC long enough, this guy here in the end, kneeling down in the green shirt, is Marlon Groff. Marlon and Gene Groff have been part of this church family for a long time. God has raised up and has sent out Marlon and Gene Groff. They have spent this whole summer in Galveston, Texas. Marlon is the team leader. People come to Galveston, Texas to rebuild homes and houses that have been destroyed by the hurricane. And he is the one who leads these teams, oversees these teams as they remodel these houses. Can you imagine being in Galveston, Texas? The heat and the humidity. And as Marlon is doing, meeting people's physical needs, do you know what his wife Jean is doing? Jean is going around getting to know women and ladies in the community, starting Bible studies for women who do not know Christ, meeting spiritual needs. God has raised up Marlon and Gene Groff And he sent them out from this body to do his work in Galveston, Texas. I just heard this week that Marlon and Jean are talking about selling their home so that they can get an apartment, which would free them up for God to send them out to other places for other assignments. God is in the business of raising up and sending out workers into his harvest field. The next example, many of you know Dana. Dana graduated from LMH High School a few months ago. She was on a platform a few weeks ago. She is now in New Zealand. She's with a ministry called YWAM. And she's learning and listening to speakers who talk about the injustices that are going on in our world and Christians' responsibility to those physical needs. And after a few weeks or a few months in New Zealand, the next part of her trip is going to be in another part of the world sharing the good news of Christ. She's going to be focused on people's physical needs, people's spiritual needs. God has raised up Dana from this body and has sent her out to New Zealand. Get ready, because as we spend the next month praying and asking God to send out workers from CBC, he is going to answer that prayer, because that aligns with his word, that aligns with his heart, that aligns with his will. I'm convinced that there's a lot of individuals from here at CBC that God wants to raise up and send out. Some of you might be sitting here this morning, and in your spirit, you know, yeah, that's me. I don't know where or when, but that's me. Some of you have no idea, but a year from now, 5 years from now, God's going to send you. He's going to send you out. And we're going to celebrate and rejoice and partner with you that God has raised you up and is sending you out. It's harvest time here at CBC. And if God's going to bring forth the harvest from our body, we need to be concerned with people's physical and spiritual needs. We must reflect the heart and compassion of Jesus, and we must join with him in saying, God, raise up workers. Send them out into your harvest field. As we close out the worship service, the worship team is going to come out, and we're going to sing a song that's focused on taking the good news of Jesus, being involved with him in the spiritual harvest.
You can stand with us if you'd like. We're going to close this morning by singing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory.
Join with me in prayer. Lord, that's our heart's desire this morning, that we would be able to reflect Christ, that Christ would shine through our lives, that you would be honored and glorified as we walk with you, as we abide with you, that we would reflect your heart of compassion to those that we come in contact with this week. Lord, we petition you as the Lord of the harvest to send us out as your workers into your harvest fields this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two announcements. One is the chairs do come down. So if you can stick around and help with that, that would be wonderful. And second, if you're new to Community Bible Church, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet you at the hospitality room. It's past the Welcome Center, down the hall to your left. There's some refreshments and a gift bag, and I'd love to have the opportunity to interact with you. Lord bless you.